everybody know what happened in 2009? I'll help you. The New York Yankees won their 27th World Series. This is where we hiss and boo. We hate the Yankees. But they did a ticker tape parade, and I can't imagine what it would have been like to be downtown New York as it's raining confetti everywhere. It took them weeks to clean it up afterwards. But the people got so excited, I don't know if they ran out of confetti or never had confetti, but they started dumping the files in their offices out the windows. Later on, they found, you know, some personal documents that should have been shredded. Pay stubs, banking data, law firms' memos, court files. Often in life, we do not celebrate the way we can or should, especially about the things that God is doing in our lives. We want to learn what it means to become freer in our expression of what Christ has done for us and our world. Let's pray. God, every wonderful thing that we experience in life has come from your hand, directly or indirectly. We're so thankful that you have personally entered our world and our lives. Encourage us to acknowledge your goodness day by day. You deeply love us and know each of us by name. We invite you to have your will and way in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Luke 2, 8 to 20. Ernie, I'll put it up on the screen for you. I'm going to read it to you. Luke 2, 8 to 20. Now in that same region there were shepherds, living in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. There'll be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard this were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Last week, in the second week of Advent, we heard Mary's beautiful hymn, "The Magnificat." Today we'll hear the voices of the angels on high declare glory to God. After such a quiet time period between God and his creation, things have begun to move rapidly, kind of like a snowball picking up speed, rolling down a hill for those places who have snow. An angel visits a priest named Zechariah and tells him his wife Elizabeth, who is barren, is going to have a baby in her old age. They're to name this son John, and he'll prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Then God appears to a teenager named Mary through an angel named Gabriel, and he affirms that she'll become pregnant as the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she will have a son named Jesus. And he'll be the Son of the Most High, the long-awaited-for Messiah. An angel of the Lord also appeared to Joseph, Mary's fiancé, bringing him up to speed to the quite unusual circumstances. He determined that he would take her as his wife, even though she was pregnant. So now in the start of Luke chapter 2, the emperor sets a decree that everyone must go back to their homeland and register for taxes. If it happened today, most of us who were not born in Mournville would be traveling east, west, north, or south, depending on where our family lineage came from. For Joseph, who was from the line of David, it's back to Bethlehem. The prophets in the Old Testament prophesied that this is where the Messiah would come from. Well, on this journey, it came time for Mary to deliver her firstborn child. She wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. It gives a whole new meaning to when somebody asks you if you were born in a barn. The God of the universe became incarnate and dwelt among us, coming in the most humble form possible. Who would have thought that the answer to the nation of Israel's prayers would be answered in this way? Luke 2:8 begins with the shepherds living in the fields, watching their sheep by night. Have you ever wondered when shepherds sleep? It was one of those low-paying jobs where you were on call 24 hours a day and are away from home. This occupation is a little bit like firefighters' experience. All is quiet. When tragedy strikes, like a lion or bear would provide, one needed to be alert and ready for action, just like a fire for a firefighter. In Luke 2:9, then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It went from pitch black to the brightest daylight in the instant of a second. If you've ever worked outside at night, you know this does not normally happen. In fact, when you've been out in the dark long enough, your eyes actually adjust, and you can see for quite a distance. But do you remember what it was like as a kid when your parents wanted you to get up, and they would turn the lights on, and the contrast from dark to light got your attention because of the pain now in your eye sockets? Maybe this is still happening out there. This is what these workers of the sheep experienced, but more. It says they were terrified. They knew what it was like to fight off wolves and lions and bears, but this was different. When God shows up in any of our lives in such a dramatic way, it's unnerving. In verse 10, the angel reassures them, "Do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." Who wouldn't like to hear some great news in their lives? The context is that the angel is about to say is good news for everyone. This isn't simply one of those shepherds getting called up to the big leagues of sheep herding or getting a raise. These words were going to impact all people everywhere favorably. When was the last time our world ever had such a moment like this? I'm going to suggest we haven't. Luke 2:11, to you is born in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. What is being announced is hard to comprehend. What the people of Israel have been waiting for 400 years, for 500 years. It's been 700 years since the prophet Isaiah wrote about the coming Messiah, and now it's finally here. You know how excited parents get when their long-awaited-for child enters the world. Even non-emotive people can well up at the sight of such a miraculous event. Now, if you can imagine, the most important birth in the world history has just happened. We need fireworks, rent the biggest stadium, get TV cameras so this can be seen all over the world, and someone can blog the play-by-play action so nothing will be missed. Okay, lack of technology is probably going to have a limitation here. But who would you share the news with? Someone who had a lot of connections and was well known. Because remember this, this news is going to bring good news of great joy to all people. The angels did not go visit the powerful or the rich or the popular with the announcement. The only ones that the shepherds had any influence over were their sheep. Why would God reveal himself to everyday shepherds? Luke 2:12. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. These no-name shepherds, none of them is referred to by name, do not need CSI training to be able to validate if what the angels are saying is true. With the information given, All they have to do is head to Bethlehem and look for the newborn that is in a stable or animal shelter. And here's our praise song, Luke 2:13, 14. And suddenly, there is with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and earth peace among those whom he favors, or peace to those in whom God is pleased." Who does God favor? Or who pleases him? Micah 6:8 says, "O people, the Lord has told you what is good and what is required of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Sounds a lot like shepherds, doesn't it? People who are not flashy. They're faithfully go about their business and are willing to do what is right and acknowledge their need before God. It should also sound a lot like how others would describe us. Please understand that those who please God choose to honor him with their lives. When God enters our lives, whether we're children or seniors, our first expression should be that of gratitude to the Lord God who made us. In Luke 2:15 to 16, when the angels left, the shepherds decided nothing was going to stop them from checking this out, and so off to Bethlehem they went. It doesn't say how far they traveled, just that it was nearby. It says they made haste to find Joseph, Mary, and the baby. Luke 2:17, 18, the shepherds shared all the angels had said, and all who heard were amazed at what they said. They repeated, "Good news for all people, for born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord." Since when do shepherds, farmers, garbage collectors, dishwashers, diaper changers know so much about what God is doing? Ever since the God of the universe recognized that humble people know how to embrace great treasures when they hear them. The text ends in Luke 2:19 and 20, saying that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Even though the angel had spoken to Mary and Joseph, the shepherds were just another confirmation about who the Christ child really is. And when the shepherds departed, they went back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and been told to them. Do you think they had a story to tell once they got back home to their families? The citizens of Feldkirch, Austria, didn't know what to do. What was happening was Napoleon's army was gathering and was about to take the town over. And they were completely panicked, and they had no idea what to do. And so they called a town meeting in the local church and tried to determine, how do we defend ourselves? Should we surrender? What should we do? It also happened to be Easter Sunday. The pastor rose and said, "Friends, we've been counting on our own strength, and apparently it has failed us. As this is the Lord's day of his resurrection, let us ring the bells in our service as usual and leave the matter in his hands. We know only our weakness, but not the power of God to defend us." The council accepted the plan, and the churches rang the bells. The enemy, hearing sudden bells, concluded the Austrian army had arrived during the night to defend the town. And before the service was over, Napoleon's army had fled. Sometimes our ability to worship and praise God may be all we have. Again, why were the shepherds the ones who got to listen to Gloria as the voices of the angels echoed across the night sky? I'm convinced it was probably a more moving concert or symphony than any of us have ever been privileged to witness in our world's history. Jesus coming as the Savior was one of the quietest birthday parties ever held, with party invitations given to the least likely recipients. In our home, we have four Advent candles. And so the first week of Advent, we light one candle when we're having supper. And then second week, two candles. And it goes on and on like this. Anyway, our grandsons come over for supper. And as soon as Ezra walks up to the table, he says, "Birthday party!" And we say, "Yes, yes, it is a birthday party. It's Jesus' birthday party." Every time he does it. The Messiah's coming was not going to be about the rich and the famous and the wealthy or the powerful. The people with the most influence and political pull had no idea the babe in the manger had arrived. This is not to say that those with lower positions in society are automatically more humble, nor is it to say that those who have influential positions are proud. It is more to do with our heart's attitude and how we respond to God and each other. Also, the spiritual kingdom that God was bringing on earth as it is in heaven was not about the masses. This mysterious plan of God was all about reaching one heart, one person at a time. Every person who has ever been born from the beginning of time until now were equally valuable to the Lord, no matter what their position or status in our world. Sometimes those who appear to have less might actually be the ones who possess more. They're not so quickly distracted by the physical so as to see and hear the acts of God going on around them. God encounters the shepherds through the angels' announcements and chorus, but they didn't leave it there. They invited, they intrigued, they encouraged these sheep workers to see it for themselves. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. God, by his Holy Spirit, continues to call each of us to come and discover all he has for us. Daily, he longs to reveal more of himself to us. Psalm 34:8, it says, "Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him," in God. Jesus wants to experience him in every part of our senses of who we are. A great prayer is, "God, come and reveal yourself to me. Show me more of who you are throughout every day that I'm given breath of life." The last thing I want you to notice in this text is because the shepherds acted in faith to what God had done in their lives, others were encouraged. As silly as it might have seemed to go from stable to stable, cave to cave, to find the babe, the shepherds did it, and then they shared what astounding words the angels had sang and spoken. It says that those who heard them were amazed, and Mary treasured these words in her heart, which she would need in the days ahead at Jesus' crucifixion. When God moves on our behalf, we have the opportunity to share his goodness with others, so they're positively impacted by God's move of grace in our lives. Each of us has an ongoing story that is being written day in and day out in how God is changing and transforming our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, come and reveal more of yourself to us in this Christmas season. We want you to encounter us and bring whatever changes you desire to do within us. Let your praise and worship flow through our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you can, you're going to want to stand up for this one.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweet. Nostius Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song?
I have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Things that are coming. Youth this week, 6:30. They're meeting here, then going to Aspen. Service next week, normal Sunday morning. Sunday night, Christmas Eve candlelight at 7 p.m. Dave says if you want a seat, you need to come early. Dave, you'd give your seat up for somebody, wouldn't you? Okay, there you go. Thank you, Dave. He's so excited he's going to Calgary. Oh, I'm not sure what to make of that. I think we have some treats in the fridge, too, that we're going to put out when you walk out today. It's crazy what the shepherds experienced. But the thing is, we don't need to just go on the shepherd's testimony anymore that what happened. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that each of us has our own song. Song of praise and worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of what he's done in our lives. Amen.
Please stand.
Jesus Christ is born, while shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel's chorus that hailed the Savior's birth.
great week.